Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Maddie Owen Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Quick PSA, go to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co, and find all the stuff on the website. Also, get your socks at silliesco.com. Use the promo code GBR for life and get all your socks, especially your Common Fan socks. We're dispensing with the pleasantries, guys. Here we are, skipping through the summer, enjoying the pool, enjoying our look back at Tom Osborne.
Golf
Who
clubs.
Doesn't want to talk about Tom Osborne?
We're talking
Who
about history.
Want to talk about national championships?
Good things.
We're having a great summer. We're doing a summer series that we're very proud of. I think it's gone very well. We're very happy with how the episodes have come together on Tom Osborne. And Scott Frost is in the news again, people.
Yep. Scott Scofro just came and took a big old dump on the porch of Nebraska and then left.
For those who missed it, and I don't know who that would be. I guess if you're not on social media, you can't see the collective meltdown that's been taking place. But for those who missed it, at Big 12 Media Days yesterday, we're recording this on Wednesday, July 9th. We're going to put this out immediately. For those who missed it, yesterday at Big 12 Media Days, Frost was asked what he learned from his time at Nebraska. He said, quote, don't take the wrong job.
Okay.
I'll just give you the full quote. I said, I wouldn't leave UCF unless it was someplace you could win a national championship, which Jim in Minnesota pointed out. That's perhaps a positive reflection on Nebraska. But then he says, I got tugged in a direction to try to help my alma mater and didn't really want to do it. It wasn't a good move. I'm lucky to get back to a place where I was a lot happier. This on the heels of an interview in May that he did with ESPN, where he said, I think I kind of knew that the Nebraska job wasn't for me. It was what some other people wanted me to do to some degree. You know, I feel like we have been more fair to Frost than what a lot of what we've seen on social media,
sure.
Maybe what some others have said. But I wrote an article about Frost's latest comments this morning. I was seething this morning. Like, I feel like this is kind of a tipping point where it's just infuriating. I'm not even sure like I could put my finger on exactly why, other than to say, like, I think what irks me the most is there appears to be an inability to own the results or own your time in Nebraska, to take accountability, to take responsibility.
Yes. Accountability is the word of the day.
I think that's the biggest thing. I made a point in a conversation on Twitter. It'd be nice for him to show the slightest bit of gratitude. He doesn't even really need to do that. He just needs to say it didn't work. Instead, he acts like an innocent bystander, a victim even, that like had these things happen to him that he had no control over.
Right.
Like, did someone make you take the job and get paid $5 or $7 million a year or whatever it was?
That's almost what he's insinuating, though. That's what he's implying.
Did someone make you have a lack of discipline that led to a bunch of one score losses? And like, no, you all, it's 16-31. That's your record.
Mm-hmm.
You were the head coach. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and is it our fault or is it the university's fault when it comes to recruiting and some of the blunders you have with recruits? Like, I don't think that's something that you can say that I took the wrong job. You just didn't do a good job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to use TJ's word, it irks me. I mean, I understand part of it, but you can even say some of those things and say, hey, like maybe there are some valid reasons why it didn't work here. Maybe it's not all on Scott Frost, but he doesn't own anything that could be partially even remotely his fault. None of it. I've never heard him say one time that maybe I could have done this better. It's always the university and the powers that be didn't do right by me, or I got pulled in the wrong direction in this interview. Drives me nuts. He said it again, accountability, keyword, and he just doesn't take any of it. Drives me nuts.
No, and you know, I think part of the anger that I certainly have and many, many others have is it kind of feels like, in a way, we got duped. Like, to me, Scott Frost, the player, we were like, yeah, you know, he seems kind of bristly and a little bit arrogant and cocky, but he's with us and we won. But we all kind of knew that. And, you know, I think for me, it was like, oh, he's coming back. We're going to win for sure. And I'm sure he's matured. The guy is still like this arrogant guy who doesn't take accountability. He can't even say, like, excuse me, I tweeted yesterday, if he would just say one sentence, two sentences, I love Nebraska. I wish it would have worked out. We couldn't get it done. Like, that's it. That's all that's needed here. But like you said, TJ, in your article, and you've said before, like, he can't even say the word Nebraska. Like, he can't. To me, the hardworking people of Nebraska, we and it's, so much has been said and written about it. Like, we work our butts off. We are a work heavy state. We're agricultural. It's like, pull yourself up and let's get some work done. And one thing that we like with that is accountability. We want people to say, you know what, I messed up. At least take accountability. Even if you can't fix it and it's beyond fixing, I messed up. We didn't do a good job. We respect that. We respect someone's honesty and humility. Okay. There's none of that. There's none of that here. There's no humility. There's never been humility with Scott Frost. We just chose to ignore it because we wanted wins so bad. He's never been. He's been a guy that's, you know, I'm going to go over here for a couple of years. Oh, it's not really working. I'm going to cut and run. I'm going to go over here. Oh, it's not really working out here. I'm going to cut and run. Go over here. Look back. The guy is never in a place for more than 3-4 years. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he wears on people or what it is, but like, dude, just show some grace and humility. You played for Tom Osborne, for God's sake.
Did you
learn nothing from the man?
Listen to the series, guys. Listen to the series.
Check out the TO series, everyone.
You'll learn a lot about Tom Osborne there. The point I wanted to make there too is just, he doesn't even necessarily, it's like he goes out of his way to make these comments. Like, you don't need to say, just don't say anything, man. He doesn't even have to say he loves us. He could just say like, hey, we're not talking about that. Or I coached
just Nebraska, say, I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm the coach of UCF now. Let's talk about where we're going here.
Yeah.
But he goes out of his way to talk about these things.
Well, he gets asked. I mean, I think he gets asked.
He's asked
right?
about it.
But you're right, Jeff. Right. And I think, Matty O, I totally agree with you. I don't think he even needs to say he loves Nebraska. Maybe he doesn't love Nebraska anymore, right?
No, maybe he doesn't.
I think he can say, hey, I'll always respect my alma mater. I didn't get the job done. It didn't go like I wanted it to there. I learned some lessons and I'm excited to be at UCF. Like that would at least like put it behind him. And I don't think he probably cares about the social media uproar that follows his comments. And I don't know that he's, but like, it shouldn't be that hard to say something like that. And like, I think I just keep coming back to this. Like, he seems to hint at various comments he's made, he sort of hinted that maybe, he had to go it alone or he wasn't fully supported. And I don't know if that's a shot at Moose or Trev Alberts or both. We all know, I think everyone likes to, on social media at least, likes to cite the rumors. And we've made the point many times on this podcast, nobody knows.
No.
If that stuff is true or not.
Yeah.
And so we're not,
somebody knows, but it's not public knowledge.
Most people don't know. And
right.
almost certainly some of that stuff is not true. Yeah. Maybe most of it isn't true.
Smoke
we don't know.
Fire.
Right. So, so that probably wears on a guy. I'm trying to like play devil's advocate here. Maybe mm-hmm. there were some issues with the administration. Maybe the fan pressure was too much. Maybe I do believe like 99% of the fans adored the guy. So, but maybe the vocal minority of fans, especially once the losing started,
started to weigh on TJ.
Well,
that's
right.
The key
started to weigh on him and his marriage and his personal life. Right. Right. Like, so maybe it's hard to like move past that stuff, but at the end of the day, there's zero accountability for the final wreck, for the wins and losses. And that's what I think.
Or what was produced on the field. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so, you know, some divorces get messy, guys, you know, and this is what it feels like. Like one spouse just like isn't able to like gracefully be like, you know what? It didn't work out for us. It's just like, I mean, it's like he lit the house on fire and then has come back a few times to kick the dog. Like, that's what it feels like to me. Like, what are you doing, man? Like,
again, he doesn't have to answer those questions. You said he gets asked those questions. That's a good example of him coming back and taking shots. He chooses to answer those questions.
Say, I'm not going to talk about Nebraska.
Yeah, well,
I'm
going to talk about UCF. I don't coach there anymore. Let's talk about UCF.
I have a question, guys. All three of us are clearly pissed off at this point. Again, yeah. I feel like we've defended him and been more supportive.
I support the guy here at work. I supported him all of last offseason saying, all after, right, he does yeah. well. I
after hope everything, well. After everything that happened, as of a few months ago, as of this morning or yesterday morning, whatever, I think we were all like, hey, I hope he has a, you know, I think on our last episode when we talked about it, I hope he does well again at Central Florida.
Yeah.
Should we? So here's what I'm asking. And there's kind of a debate on Twitter about this. Like, should we care?
No.
Or why do we care? Why do we care so much?
That's absurd. You're right.
I do care. And my article cited his epic failure. Those were the words I chose for my article about his epic failure at Nebraska. Are we acting like jilted lovers?
No. I think any other blue blood program, if they had a former national championship quarterback come back to coach his alma mater and it goes horribly and they fire him, like any, and he said this about his alma mater after he failed there, any of like Alabama, Michigan, any of the US, any of these blue buds, mm-hmm. their fans would be irate too. They'd be like, what are you doing? Like we will always root for our former Huskers, our former Nebraskans, like Danny Woodhead. We like adopted him as like he's a Nebraska football guy, even though he didn't play for Nebraska. We will always root for Nebraskans. Now he's making it so hard. Like I don't plan on rooting for him. In fact, I'm going to watch and be like, gosh, I really don't care if they lose this game. Like I cannot root for somebody that just craps on. And the other thing is what you're seeing with the reaction to his comments just is to me says a lot about our fan base and how passionate we are.
Yeah.
Like it's just one of those things. Like you can't come in here and ruffle all these feathers and fail and then not have some kind of grace and humility without us being like, what is your problem, dude? Like, what did we do to you? We were here supporting you for 5 years. That's 5 years of our lives. Like, yep. like granted, we're just bystanders, right? We're fans, but that's still 5 years of our lives where we're going every Saturday. We're turning on the TV every Saturday. We're given all the support that we have. And when they go 3-9, we're like, oh, it's best 3-9 team of all time. Like, how ridiculous does that sound? Like, I know it's kind of a joke, but like, oh, we're about to turn around. We almost won, you know, six of those games, whatever it might be. Like we were like totally irrational when he was our coach. Like, just wait. Oh, we're going to win one of these games and then look out. Like,
because there was no way it could work.
Regurgitating what he's been saying. Like, oh, well, just everybody better look out. Or once we get rolling, it never happened. And it's quite clear to me now, the fact that he's not able to take accountability now, like, means there was no accountability while he was here. There was no accountability, no discipline. And it's just completely obvious. And for me, and I think many others, that's part of the frustration and anger too, is like this, I can't believe we had this guy come in here and he just failed miserably. We still supported him. And now we're just, again, he's coming back and kicking our dog.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah, so I think the other thing that's surprising to me, and I want to ask this question to both of you, is I feel like all of a sudden now with him being back at UCF, it's like a foregone conclusion that he's going to be good again there. Like, he's just going to pick up where he left off. They're going to start rolling and winning games. And so I guess my question is if he – let's say just hypothetically, what if he does well at UCF? I don't want that to happen now because I feel like that proves him right. You know what I mean? Well, look at me. I'm at UCF now. I'm rolling. I'm coaching. I'm doing a good job. We're winning games. I told you, it was all Nebraska's fault. It was all Nebraska's fault. That's why we didn't win. It wasn't me, clearly, because I can coach this team. College football has changed so much since the last time I was at UCF. I just love how it's just this foregone conclusion that he's going to take off and go running again with that team. Would you root for him? Do you want him to win at all? I almost want Bill Belichick in North Carolina to beat his ass this year. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to mark that game in my calendar. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I'm probably rooting for the hoodie on that one. But you know, it's like it's a different thing for him too. If you're talking about how is he going to do, it's like, you know, this isn't UConn and USF. Like, you're playing Oklahoma State, TCU, yes. West Virginia, yeah. Like Houston. Like, these are all pretty good teams, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit different than the American Athletic Conference that he was coaching a few years back.
Yes.
So I'd be kind of surprised, like, if he even makes a bowl game probably this year. So we'll see. The other thing that you mentioned, Jeff, about how college football has changed, he talked a little bit about money too. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to you guys this morning, like him talking about nothing's decided on the field anymore. It's all about money. Like, dude,
about the player, speaking about the money.
Yeah. But it's like, dude, speaking of money, you made 35 mil over 5 years and then got paid another 15 mil to walk. And you're complaining about money. Like, give me a break. I'd rather have like, and again, we're going to be talking about Rule like he's the best thing in the world right now, but I'd rather somebody.
We already do that.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
Love that guy.
I'd rather have somebody embracing it, saying, this is what it is. Like, here's what we have to do. Here's how much this player costs. Here's how much that player costs. Like, it is what it is, Scott. Yeah. Like, you aren't going to be able to change it with your stupid comments at a press conference, Mr. Frost. Sorry, pal. Yeah. Let's talk about how it used to be back in the day when players wouldn't wear hoodies in the cold. Like, give me a break, dude.
So I want to go back.
I
want to go back to Jeff's question. So it's funny, even when I was writing that article this morning where I was not super kind to Frost, I thought to myself, should I really do this? Should I really write this? Because I could wake up on Labor Day weekend and find myself completely pulling for him. I've talked about this on the show before. Like, he's a Husker legend as a player. Way back when he was OC at Oregon, we were all following his career. They had that magical season in 2017. And then he came, like, it was like, we all like, I'm really pissed off at him right now, but I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be cheering for him. My Liberty. That's so pathetic. I also think, like, we've joked before, like, it's kind of, it might be a little bit cliche, but we've joked before that, like, the Big 12 doesn't really play defense. His offense is probably better suited for the Big 12. Yeah. I don't know that he's going to go 13-0 again anytime soon, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does better at UCF. Does well enough there to stay there for 20 years if he wants to. And that might be some 6-win seasons. It might be some 8 or 9 win seasons. Yeah. But that really wouldn't surprise me. I think there really is a good football coach in there. And there were a lot of reasons it didn't work at Nebraska. I want to pivot for a second, guys. My sense, just from Twitter, basically, and Owens, I know you've been, I don't do Facebook very much, but social media, I think, mostly is furious at him. And I noticed, like, a lot of, like, professionals, like Dirk Chatelain, who doesn't write for the Omaha World Herald anymore, was pretty critical. Eric Strickland, who at the very least has some credibility as Husker hoops legend and NBA player, was critical. Obviously, some of the usual suspects on social media.
Mike Schaefer had a great tweet about it.
Yeah. Like, so people are, like, mostly critical. And then, like, a bunch of people we don't know are saying things that are borderline, should probably get them kicked off of Twitter. right. So there's a lot of anger out there, but there is also, like, a different, like, Jim in Minnesota, who is a great friend of this program. And we've engaged with him a lot, and he's always been supportive of the stuff that we are, our podcasts and our articles. He's not where most of the fan base is on this, or at least most of the social media fan base. And so I want to acknowledge too that we've said this before too, like, however this makes folks feel is understandable, right? Because of the history there, because of how invested we were in Frost, and because of, like, it was so mind-boggling. I think what was also mind-boggling is not just that it didn't work, that we never even made a bowl game. Like, it failed miserably.
As bad as it could go.
16 and 31. 16 and 31.
I just want to read a couple. I'm not going to read the whole tweet storm, but Jim had a couple points I just want to acknowledge, and there's a couple others who commented too. Why would there not be an underlying tone of bitterness? He didn't want the job. He wrestled with the decision immensely. What else do you say? Most people close to him and or the situation said, no way he's coming here. I haven't heard that. I don't know that for sure, but
then don't take the job.
Jim is pretty well. He listens to and reads just about everything. Mm-hmm. But imagine him knowing he couldn't say no to his alma mater he loved, the fans who were dying for him to rescue them and his former teammates and begging him to come home. Then it said he failed. He failed for all the reasons those close to him knew it would fail. And yes, he got $35 million, but we also gave him his biggest fear, which is failing at Nebraska, and almost destroyed his marriage with our rumors. And yet we want him to list all the ways he still loves us. So this one, like, I would say that. Here's what I would say. He did fail. Most everybody said it was a slam dunk. I'm not discounting what Jim is saying. I just don't know what he's referencing when he says those closest to him knew it would fail. Everybody thought it was a slam.
Everybody wanted Scott Frost at that time.
Thought it was a home run.
He was the hottest coach out there.
And then I do agree with the point about the rumors. We just talked about it a few minutes ago. I think the rumors are out of control, et cetera.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
And then Jim, he goes on to, like, talk about some of the, you know, it took Solis 20 years to come back. Callahan will never even talk about Nebraska. Callahan also failed. And he makes points about other coaches. My point on that is I think that we gave Frost more of a chance than any one of those guys got. Yeah. Riley had a 9-win season and went to a bowl game. And again, I my thoughts on Riley are well known. Right. Riley didn't get more than 3 years. Solich, I think, had a beef simply because he went from 7-7 to 9-3. So, like, he, at least we've said many times, at least deserved more time to see how that was going to play out.
Sure.
Frost, I think the other guy, you know, Bo, you could argue had a beef. He always won 9 or 10 games, but there was the sideline behavior. There was the other stuff. We did a whole series on this, guys.
Damn good series. A really good series.
Go back to that one too.
Check out The Reckoning last summer. So again, Jim is thoughtful here. And he's always passionate. And I just think, I'm to the point where maybe we have defended Frost before this latest stuff. Again, I'm not even sure why it's triggering to me so much, but I'm just kind of to the point where it's getting so old.
Yeah.
These comments. Yeah. And I think, like, everyone knows if you ask about Nebraska, you're probably going to get something you can print. And I think this Vanini guy from The Athletic is a good reporter, but, like, if I was a reporter, I'd probably just keep asking Frost about Nebraska.
Right.
Sure. It would give me something to, you know, write and get clicks about it, whatever. Hold on.
Can I say one thing to you?
Go ahead.
So I think, and from, I read a lot of that thread, that tweet interaction back and forth. And one thing I think, Jim, the point he's trying to make is, I think there is a, and I'm playing devil's advocate, there, you can't argue that there is a pattern. we do tend to be like a jolted or pissed off ex-lover at everybody we've ever had contact with. I mean, including up to just a couple of years ago.
It happens everywhere. That's college football, baby.
It does just seem like
we're not okay with Trev. We're not cool with Trev yet. No, he's not back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it just seems like there is a pattern that once a person leaves, it's either they don't speak to us ever again or we're pissed at him about something every few years. And so I think he's just making a point that, you know, maybe as us as a whole, we need to maybe rein it in a little bit. And this is a good example of Scott Frost says one thing. We're in the off season right now and we're salivating. We need to talk about it right now. We need to get pissed off about something because there's nothing else to talk about.
Can we put him backstage?
I think that's the point, Jim.
He's telling us it's our problem.
I guess.
Not our problem. We've all been here. We've been supporting this for years when nobody should.
I'm just saying. Backstage again. Jeff just contradicted everything he just said. Everything we just talked about.
He did say he was playing devil's advocate.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I think that's just what he's trying to get stronger.
Yeah.
Siding with the devil. Isn't that what that means?
Also, another popular Husker Twitter account who I always find really insightful is Drake, at Drake B4 Degrassi. He posted, this was last night, I think, if I'm judging the hours correctly. Scott Frost didn't even say anything degrading or controversial, and we're just in full off-season boredom. And then he responded. Separately, he responded to part of this conversation with Jim. My only thing is, I think we romanticize who we thought he was in the 90s and from afar. I think he's just showing us who he's always been. Owens, you kind of made this point. And we're expecting a different version of decorum that I've never felt he's proven to have had. I feel like that's a pretty fair point. Yeah, yeah.
I do disagree with the off-season boredom thing. Like, if he said this in week three of the season, it would still be a story. It just wouldn't be as big of a story. Like, that's still, like, would get eyeballs and clicks, at least for sure in our fan base, which still
I think we'd be like, oh, we got a game. Yeah, shut up, idiot. We got a game to focus on. We'd acknowledge it for like 1 second, move on. I feel since there is kind of this dead of summertime, it's something to talk about, and we're always striving for content. So I don't disagree with that either.
Yeah. Not to well,
you're gonna go mean, backstage shortly here. You didn't get the memo about the shirts either.
TJ wearing
the same shirt.
Oh,
White Elm Brewing.
Friends of the program, White Elm Brewing. We love you, White Elm Brewing. Mm-hmm. Look, I think like the history here, we've kind of made this point, but I'll try to put a bow on it. It's impossible to ignore the fact that the history plays into this significantly. I think if Mike Riley gave an interview, like, "Hey, what have you applied from your last job at? What have you applied to your last job at Nebraska to your job now on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee?" If Mike Riley said the exact same things, well, didn't have great support from the administration and took the wrong job, it wasn't the right fit, we'd all be like, whatever, goofball. Like, we'd laugh about it. We'd be like, whatever, dude. Like, okay. Yep. And so, like, Frost, all the stuff that happened when he was a player, and it did end with him on the mountaintop. But I would argue, like, I'm not sure we would say he was, like, totally beloved as a player, even by the time he was done. Always, like, respected, I think.
Yeah.
But then, like, I don't know about you guys, I knew – like, I was from the moment I saw him on the sideline. What was the name of that guy? He got in a fight. Remember, was it Oregon Boise State? I think
He pulled LeGarrette Blount. He pulled LeGarrette Blount. Yeah. Boise player. Yeah.
And yep. I think I've shared this on this program before, but my brothers and I were watching that game, and I was that Frost? Was that Frost in an Oregon t-shirt? And it was like, oh, he's the wide receiver coach at Oregon. Oh, he's the OC for this incredible offense. Yeah. Oh, he got the head job at Central Florida. Should we have interviewed him? Oh, he had a magical season at Central Florida. And then the depths to which Nebraska had fallen, which it would get much worse under Frost, the depths to which Nebraska had fallen under Riley. And it was like the perfect, the saviors coming home, the white knight, whatever. And again, I appreciate maybe there were people I'm not saying Jim's wrong. I just don't know exactly what he's talking about. Maybe there were people who knew he's not ready for this, or there are reasons it'll be too much for him, or whatever. My recollection is that no, even smart football players or smart football analysts, smart football people, journalists, players, whoever.
He was the guy at the time.
There's right?
At that time, we landed the best coach that you could get at that time. For sure.
And I think there are plenty of arguments to be made that if he had gone, if he was going 7-5 every year, he'd still be there. Like, we might be antsy.
Yeah.
We might be anxious. Give me a bowl game or two, even give me two bowl games, let's say. He might still be there. Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like everyone, let's say this, give me 6-6 in a bowl game in 2022. And like, it's not a stretch to say they should have won that Northwestern game and they should have won the Georgia Southern game and they would have started 3-0.
Yeah.
Right. Give me 6 wins that season in a bowl game. And who, like, so I guess all I'm saying is, like, I don't think anyone's mad that he didn't win a national championship. Right.
Right.
People are mad. They're angry with how bad we were, because it always comes back to wins and losses. So people are angry with how poorly it turned out. How many of those games felt winnable, and like, we couldn't figure out how to close the deal, which we've talked about how we came to the conclusion that's ultimately a lack of attention to detail, a lack, like, ultimately
preparation,
comes down to preparation, all those things. And so, like, I think the record influences how we feel now. And then the fact of, I don't think anybody needs him to hold a press conference and say, I love Nebraska. I'm thankful for everything Nebraska has given me. I wish I could have done better at Nebraska. And I just want the Huskers to know I'm pulling for them. And now I'm going to do my new job at UCF, but I'll be thinking about you. Nobody needs that, right? I don't think anybody needs that. But it comes off, he doesn't say these words exactly, but it comes off like, wasn't really my fault that it went so poorly.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't really have control over it. And by the way, I didn't really want the job, and didn't really want the job in the first place.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. The job that he made, $35 million and then another $15 million to get to walk away. And it's like kind of what Strick was saying was, say no. You're a grown man. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't do it because Tom Osborne wants you to. Don't do it because your parents want you to, your wife or whoever. If you don't feel good about it, don't sign the contract. Like, no one's forcing you to do this, man. Like, that's the part that I don't like, that part either. Like, no one put a gun to your head and said, you have to go coach Nebraska. Like,
right.
If you're happy at UCF, stay at UCF. And then you, now $50 million later, you're just like, oh, I didn't really want the job. Like, give me a break. And he's got millions and millions of dollars in the bank. Oh, for five years where he was miserable. Like, give me a break, dude. Thank God we have a guy now who embraces what it means and embraces the fishbowl and says, this is all good things. We want attention. We want people to be rapid. We want all that.
What if he would have said no, Owens? What if he would have made that stance? I'm not.
Then we would have pissed at him for that.
Exactly.
But at least we wouldn't have gone 16-31. Mike Riley won 3 more games in 1/3 less seasons than Scott Frost. Mike Riley went 19-19, and we fired him. Scott won 16 games over 4 1/3 seasons. Like, we can't. If you separate the relationship from that, no more needs to be said. A blue blood program goes 16-31 over that span. They're going to fire the guy.
I think that last point is a really good one too, Matty O. If anyone went 16-31 anywhere,
see ya.
Like, if they're lucky enough to get a head job after that, they probably would say like that. I think that brings into light just the arrogance there, right? And the lack of humility. Like, anyone would have the self-awareness to say, hey, look, I didn't get it done at the last place. Like, that didn't go as well as I thought it would. And ultimately that's on me. even if there were factors with the athletic department or pressure from the fan base or other issues that we don't even know about, which maybe there were, like, the buck stops with the head man. That's the way it's always been. Yep. Harry Truman said it. That's the way it is in leadership. That's the way it is in business. That's the way it is in football.
You're not gonna bust out a Tolstoy quote here, are you?
I might, Jeff. I might bust out a Tolstoy quote. But like ultimately, like people just respect people who take ownership. So like anybody who ever went 16-31, you would say, you know what? I definitely could have done some things differently at the last stop. It didn't go like I wanted it to. I'm so thrilled to have this new opportunity and we're going to be better from here. But like, I think that's what irks people is the most is can't acknowledge that he might've been responsible
for some of happened
and furthermore, like acting like he's a victim. I guess that's what we keep coming back to. Right?
Highest paid employee, public employee in the state.
Right.
I mean, he's like the head coach at Nebraska is like, let's be real, the most important person in Nebraska. They are. And then to act like you had nothing to do with it is just so crazy to me. So crazy. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I would like to say, we're going to put this behind us.
Just until the next time he says something.
I know, exactly. And we're not going to talk about Scott Frost again. But I don't see
why he has this hold on us.
I know, exactly. Exactly.
Get out of my head, Frost.
I'm sure something else will come up and then we'll talk about it and we'll get fired up all over again. But again, I think, look, we said to Jim on Twitter from the Common Fan account, always respect the passion. I think like people are going to get fired up in every direction on this and totally get it. Like if the last 25 years of Nebraska football had been different, like, no one's having these fights, right? No. If we hadn't had a decade of misery, no one's having these fights, right? Like, let's just start winning football games again, and then we can just talk about how we're winning football games again. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. That'd be a great time.
That's going to happen this fall, TJ. It's happening this fall.
Well, I'll remind our listeners that we started the Common Fan Podcast in 2023. Matt Rhule went 5-7. We did, you know, the second season of the Common Fan Podcast football season, Rhule went 7-6. So I'd like to think we are kind of sledding right along with the program and we are in line for pulling them to a year three leap under Matt Rhule. That's probably because of us.
So I think that's the point right there, TJ. Scott Frost will not take any responsibility for what happened at Nebraska under his watch. We're going to take all the credit and responsibility for what's happening with Nebraska under Matt Rhule. This podcast.
Only if it's good.
Yeah. Higher trajectory.
Exactly.
Yeah. Only if it's good though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We'll take accountability for that.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Any final thoughts, guys? That felt good. That felt good.
Yeah. I feel like we need to do this. A little emergency pod. There was a lot going on. Everybody's really, really upset. Rightfully so. And if you don't get why people are upset, I don't really understand that, but you have the right to feel the way that you want to feel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What makes Husker Nation great is the passion. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The passion that the fans have, and it's all stems from a love of this program that again is on its way back up. Let's focus on that. It is July 9th in less than a month. Next month, the Nebraska Cornhuskers will play a game of American football in less than a month. Fall camp will start. Like, let's start hitting the sled. Geoff, let's get out there and do a 7-minute mile.
Gassers, Jeff, gassers.
I've done it already, TJ. I did it in high school.
Hey, ran into a longtime friend of the program, Joe Ritz, yesterday at lunch in Omaha. Isn't he expressed something? Disappointment that we don't have proof. Video proof of Jeff running a 7-minute mile. So I'm just going to throw that out there again, Joe. Your comments are not being ignored. We are holding Jeff's feet to the fire. We need some type of treadmill or outdoor running, running a mile video, Jeff.
I'm working on it. Okay. September 20th is when UNC plays UCF. So if anybody needs to get some North Carolina gear or anything
I thought you were going to say you're going to run it. You're going to run the mile on September 20th.
No. That's absurd. I've already done that.
I checked the schedule, and even though they're both in the Big 12 now, UCF does not play Colorado this year. But who would Husker fans cheer for in that scenario?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry, but I'm probably cheering for Prime. I don't know.
I think I might too. As of right now, as of today, I might. Yeah.
Well, and just because I think it would make me feel better about losing to Prime a couple years ago.
I think that's my main thing.
If he beat Frost,
the more wins that Scott gets at UCF, the worse it makes us look. I mean, you can't argue that. Like it does. It does. Yeah. If he is successful there and keeps winning, it makes Nebraska look bad.
I get that, Jeff.
We can't have that.
I get that way of thinking, but it's a total, like, there's different administration apples down there now. Oranges. There's all kinds of different things. I know, so it's not. Yeah. But I get that.
Okay. Speaking of friends of the program, I saw T-Mac at Wrigley Field last week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So I took the boys to Chicago. We went to 3 Cubs games in 3 days, which was awesome. Met friend of the program, wow. Daniel John there with a couple of his boys. And so one of those days we were fairly close to the field and the boys ran down right after the game to try to get autographs. So I'm like chasing after them and I look into the dugout and T-Mac is right there. So I was like, T-Mac. And she looked up like her initial response was like, how, I mean, she probably gets yelled at by idiots in the crowd all the time. Right. And she looked up and I was just like, friend of the program. And she was like, oh, hey. And then I told her, you guys said hello. And we chatted for a few minutes.
Love it.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so it was a lovely conversation. It's always nice to see a friend.
She's great gal. Classy. Yeah.
There's just a lot of friends of the program out there these days. That's
right. That's growing. Yeah, growing. Yes,
that's exactly.
Right. We're good at making friends.
Oh, we are. We are. Nice. That's hopefully we haven't lost any friends today. All right, Common fans.
Hey, they can go listen to the UCF fan podcast.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
There's probably one in the College Huddle we could hook them up with if they really want.
That's right. Check out thecollegehuddle.com to find a good UCF podcast. Mm-hmm. All right, Common fans. Well, hopefully this helped help you air some grievances. Or at least was interesting and entertaining for you. We got another episode of the TO series coming out on Monday. That one is going to cover the first four. It's going to cover 1990 to 1994. So we're getting early 90s. We talked to Mitch Sherman and Abdul Muhammad. It was a fantastic conversation. I'm so excited for it to come out. And so we go through that first national championship team. Really great energy, really great conversation. So that's coming out Monday. Excited for that one. And if you haven't checked out the other episodes of the TO series, make sure to do that. There's been three released so far. And I guess that we had that sort of intro episode as well. So three to four of those as well. So check it out. It's good. It's good, clean summer content, you know, not this controversial stuff that everyone's fighting about. We're just talking about TO and national championships.
Yes, we are. Nasty.
It's good times.
All right, Comet fans. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.